Our mission at SD Bullion is clear: the lowest cost gold and silver available online. While we do not have pretty blue boxes, free shipping on every order, or glamorous gold and silver infomercials, SD Bullion has the lowest prices that may save you hundreds on your next order. So before you make your next investment, do the math and join the over 40,000 new customers who have recently made the switch to SD Bullion. Why pay more?
Hey everyone, I just created a new website, financeinliberty.com. On the website, you can subscribe to our newsletter so you can keep up to date with all our original interviews and some of the best financial videos and articles from the web. And as usual, it's totally free of charge. So what are you waiting for? Click here and sign up today. Hey everyone, this is Elijah Johnson with financeinliberty.com. And with us today is David Morgan from the Morgan Report. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Elijah, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I'd first like to discuss the precious metal markets. We've seen gold pretty much since the beginning of the year, pretty much steadily rise. And same with silver. Did you want to share with the viewers your perspective on maybe the last month of price action in the precious metal markets?
Oh, certainly. First of all, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what's been the mainstream news about gold. I mean, you're getting a lot of mixed signals. I mean, you had Drunken Miller that sold out and then he's rebought back his position. You're getting reports out of certain nation states that it was like a really bad year for gold bullion, and it's far less than it's been in the past. And then you're seeing other articles that are basically contradictory to that. But there's a couple of fundamental things to look at. And one is, as far as, you know, where is the near-term price action going to go? One is the Commitment of Traders report. Those are pretty reliable. Are they 100% accurate? No, and they're not as accurate for timing as a lot of people believe. But as far as a general trend is concerned, they are accurate. Since the gold sell-off that took place some time ago, like we peaked in the summer months and then we got the sell-off through the end of the year, the conditions of the Commitment of Traders has been very, very favorable to gold. So at this point in time, while we're doing the interview, to me, basis the COT, it looks like we have more upside in gold, more than silver. Silver is more difficult to analyze. Silver's washout or reset was not nearly as dramatic as gold's. However, silver is a much smaller market, as we all know. And there's been a difference in trading over the last year or more, a little more than a year, which means that the amount of open interest has steadily grown in both these markets, but particularly in the silver market, since the advent of the Shanghai Gold Exchange, which exchanges a lot more physical than we see through the COMEX, and the ability for the paper positions on the long side to hold their positions regardless of price action to the downside, which means that the whole trading sector has actually changed rather significantly if you pay close attention. So silver, although it is not in a COT, a Commitment of Traders setup that I would say, oh my goodness, silver's got a long ways to go, doesn't mean that it isn't favorable or very favorable. Based on past history, it is not. Based upon the fact that more and more people are entering the silver market, not only on the paper side, but also, of course, on the physical side, means that it remains to be determined. So right now, I would say gold is actually more favorable than silver based on past history, yet silver seems to be holding its own better than gold. For example, on down days, you will see gold off 1% and you'll see silver off only 1%. Normally, there's about a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 correlation, meaning that silver being more volatile, if you get a 0.5% down in gold, you get 1 or 1.5% in silver. That isn't happening of late. So silver's acting actually stronger than I would expect. The ratio is actually creeping down, meaning silver is acting stronger than gold. So based on that and the COT, I would say we still have more room to the upside than the downside. Surprises will probably be neutral. And I think this whole year, because you're probably going to ask me that, is probably going to be favorable to both the metals and probably similar to what we saw in 2016. We saw about a 40% rise in silver, for example, and we'll probably see something like 30-40% this year. And of course, Elijah, forgive me, but as always, I must emphatically emphasize barring a black swan event, because if there were something to happen big in the Middle East or with China or in the South China Sea or geopolitically or in the currency markets or all these things that surround our day-to-day activities that we're all aware of. If any of those trigger points were to happen, then you could see a up limit day in the precious metals and a lock limit up for 3 days in a row or that type of thing. So certainly we cannot rule that out, but we can't bet on it either.
So you're saying for the short term, it looks like the gold-silver ratio might actually move higher, meaning, you know, gold will outperform silver in the short term, because it's right now it's around, you know, 70 to 1, the gold silver ratio. So that's your view, that in the short term, gold will might actually outperform?
Possibly. Based on the commitment of traders, definitely. But then there are other things to factor in. But just based on how the trading activity has gone, and I've looked at this thing, you know, constantly, yes, gold is actually more favorable right now.
Now, long term, I know you've talked about this a lot before, is that really it seems like the gold-silver ratio is way out of whack. Looking historically, the gold-silver ratio has been 10 to 1 or 15 to 1, but now it's, you know, 70 to 1. So long-term, do you see it going back to that kind of ratio? What do you see long-term for the gold-silver ratio?
Well, I see another spike high. In fact, I think it'll be one that goes into the record books. Having said that, you'll see the ratio narrow, which means silver will outperform gold, probably about 3 to 1, maybe 4 to 1, which means you could get back down to what I call the classical monetary ratio of 16 to 1. And in print, I put in writing that it could get to maybe a 10 to 1 ratio. I don't see it going to parity. I don't see a 5 to 1, but that's my opinion. The market knows more than anyone. I do not see long term where the ratio narrows to, let's say, 15 to 1 and remains there. It's possible. Certainly, I, as much as anyone or more than most people, because I am so studied in the silver market, and certainly I don't know everything or pretend to. But Jerome Smith, the kind of silver guru of the 1970s, made a grave error not knowing what the technological changes would be in the silver market or in mining in general, I should say. And because he didn't account for that, he made some pretty bad predictions that were accurate based on the data at hand. But when things change, you've got to adapt to it. You've got to change yourself. And he didn't. I don't think he actually saw what had taken place, to be honest with you. But, you know, he's not alive to find out. Regardless, I have to remain open-minded that there could be some technological change that uses a great deal of silver for something like an unknown electronic or battery situation that puts a great demand on the silver market. And all of a sudden we're into that, you know, the physical shortage that we've all talked about for so long, and it manifests and it's just not going to happen. In a scenario like that, certainly you can see the ratio go to, let's say, 30 to 1. And so the ratio varies between, you know, 30 to 1 and 10 to 1, for an example. So I certainly don't rule it out. But as it stands right now with current data and what I know, I would say that it will narrow. It will favor silver, but it will not stay at a low ratio like that unless there is some, you know, major change that, like I just outlined. And certainly I don't know what that is, but I could certainly think of several, but they're all conjecture, they're all speculation.
Now I'd like to move to the stock market. Now, I know we've talked in the last couple interviews, we've been interviewing you about once every month, and we've talked about the gold and silver markets, and also we've been tracking the stock market and how, you know, right after Trump's election, the stock market just took off, and now it just keeps going higher. It's at an all-time high right now. The Dow is at 20,700. It's over 20,700 right now. Did you want to give us an update on your thoughts on the stock, what the stock market is doing right now?
Absolutely. It has been in a distribution pattern for a very, very long time, which means that it goes basically sideways at a high level. And this is a absolutely orchestrated event that takes place in almost all markets. What it means is that the strong hands are selling to the weak hands, but they can't do it instantly, because if they sell a great deal of stock at one time, the price will go down, or if they buy a great deal at one time, it will go up. So they distribute it. In other words, they keep the market at a very high level and sell a little bit and sell a little bit and sell a little bit more and keep selling until basically they've emptied their hands from the strong hands, the guys and the gals in the know, into the weak hands. This can almost be verified by what's called the internals, because you're getting all the internal things is that the professionals are getting out, that you're getting a low volume and up moves. That is a discontinuity. When you get a big up move, you want to see the volume backing it up, and it is not. So almost anything that a really good technician looks for to see what the true market conditions are would have to admit that the internals are lousy, yet the market's making new highs. So once you do a distribution pattern and you've sold off all of your stock, and I'm saying all, I'm doing that as a metaphor, but most of your stock, to weak hands, then you do what's called the markup. And the markup is where you take the market even higher, because you want everybody that you distribute your stock to think that they're very knowledgeable, they know what's going on, they're making money, and everything looks wonderful, and they are so smart for being in the stock market. And once you do the markup, what you do at the markup is you get short the market. So now you've taken your whole position, you distribute it to the weak sisters, you mark the market up, and they all feel great. And you, the insiders, the knowledgeable ones, the controllers, they go short. And then they pull the rug out. And that's called the markdown. So how long will this take, David? And the answer is, I don't know. But what I do know is the amount of volumes that have been taking place in the stock market for a very long time. So what I just outlined is what will take place. How long will it take? I don't know. More than a week, more than a month. It's going to take a while. But that's a general idea. Distribution, markup, and then, of course, the takedown or markdown. And this will catch a lot of people off guard. And there's nothing that moves faster than a down market. You can have parabolic moves on the way up. And certainly, I've experienced a few in my life, believe me. But the markets always go down faster than they go up. So that's where I see the stock market. I wish I could tell everybody listening to your show, Finance and Liberty, that it's going to take place, you know, on March 4th at 4 in the afternoon after the markets close, you know, but I can't say that.
Now, the conventional wisdom is that the stock market is going super high right now because people are really excited that Trump is going to be great for the economy. But you're saying it's basically the big money is pushing the market up and then they're going to go short?
Yes, at some point. And I agree with you. I mean, part of the reason that they can distribute it easily is that this Trumpphoria or whatever it's called is taking place. And, you know, certainly, and this is something that, you know, we talked about, I think, on the last interview. I know I've said it in an interview or two, that a lot of people are going to feel better. Fiscal stimulus means that the government puts money in the back pockets of the population. So they're going to feel wealthier because they're getting more money. They're getting jobs. They're doing real work and that kind of thing. And it's all good, you know, good in quotation marks. I'm not against it. And so this stock market euphoria will probably continue for some time. But as far as what other professionals doing, they always lead. They don't follow. So the market's overvalued by any metric that you want. The internals are deteriorating rapidly and have been for quite some time. And it's just a matter of time. And I can't tell you how much time before the markdown occurs. But as far as the mainstream financial channels, and believe me, there's a lot of them that don't know what I just even talked about, that will be saying, oh, we got this. And do you know we're doing this infrastructure build out and this new company started and they're able to do this with less energy. And I mean, there'll be a lot of good news out there and a lot of perception that everything is getting better. And in some ways it will, but in the true reality, and when you really analyze it from a macro perspective, we can't build our way out of this. There's not enough real growth left in the economy. And I don't want to be so assured of myself or of what the markets are saying or interpreting what the markets are saying that I haven't missed something, but I really doubt it. If there were something to occur that really did have a substantive impact on not only on the markets, but life in general, like some type of new form of energy that was very cost effective. I think this Cliff High of the WebBot or the Alto reports talks about the new electrics. I mean, if something were to happen technologically wise, it wouldn't even have to be technology that produced a big shift in the markets, then I'd be the first to say I was wrong. And, you know, things are getting better and the market is going higher, but I don't see that curve.
So last week, Janet Yellen said to Congress that it would be, quote unquote, unwise to wait too long to hike interest rates. Now, this seems a little bit contradictory to what the impression that a lot of people had about the FOMC meeting a little while back. The impression was that they were going to wait a while to hike interest rates. But I guess, what do you make of all of this? And what do you see the Fed doing in the near future? And how do you think that'll impact the markets?
Well, if you see my interviews with Dr. Michael Berry that we have for our website members, and I think I put some of it out in the public domain, I mean, basically, Michael lectures to the Fed board every year. And every year that I meet up with them, I usually see them two or three times a year face to face. I interview him and ask him exactly what happened at the Fed meeting that where he, you know, provided a presentation. And he basically says with not, you know, mixing his words that the Fed doesn't really know what they're doing. They really are actually fairly frightened. My words, not his, but concerned, I think, is a word that he used. They are followers, not leaders. I mean, a lot of people think the Fed controls a great deal, and they do. But what they really don't control is interest rates. As sorry as that sounds, they when interest rate pressure moves the market up, in other words, interest rates by the market start going higher, the Fed will follow and move rates up. And that's what's already taken place. That's why I'm so certain that they would have to move rates up at the end of the year last year, because the market had already priced it in. You'd already seen it in the bond market. It was screaming at you. It was there. All you had to do was look, not think, not analyze, just look. And that's a situation that Yellen is in now. She's going to have to follow what the people that are on the floor of the exchange, which is a metaphor, everyone trades off floor now electronically, but the idea is that the bond market is going down. I'm almost certain the bond market has peaked. The debt bomb is the biggest problem that exists in all of financial history. And interest rates are moving up because of that fact. And the Fed will have to follow. So when the bond market starts selling off, which it has been, then the interest rates go higher. And the Fed just can't sit there and do nothing. They have to ratchet the rates up as the market itself is pushing rates higher.
All right. Well, David Morgan, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we let you go, did you want to share with the viewers any last thoughts you had and where they can find you online?
Yeah, I just would like to share that, you know, we give out a lot of free information. Just go to themorganreport.com, put in your first name and a valid email address, get on our free email list. We'll send you the Riches and Resources Report and some insights on a weekly basis.
All right. Once again, thank you so much for your insights today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Elijah.